welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Coming up in this hour, romance. Later on, we hear the Damon Runyon Theater with Romance in the Roaring Forties. But right now, it's the Academy Award Theater, bringing us an adaptation of the 1943 motion picture Lost Angel, starring Margaret O'Brien, who appears in this radio episode from December 18th, 1946, on CBS.
Presents Academy Award. Tonight, Margaret O'Brien in Lost Angel. Each week, Squibb brings you Hollywood's finest. The great picture plays, the great actors and actresses, techniques and skills chosen from the honor roll of those who have won or been nominated for the famous Golden Oscar of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Tonight, Squibb welcomes to Academy Award Margaret O'Brien, who in 1944 was awarded a special Academy Award as the Outstanding Child Star of the Year. Margaret O'Brien will be heard in her famous screen role from Lost Angel. And now, Academy Award.
This is the story of a little orphan who fell into the hands of some very bright characters known as professors. It is a story, too, of Mike, a reporter, and his girl, Katie, and of other characters more or less concerned with the demonstrating of magic to our little girlfriend. The kind of magic that brightest little girl in the world was afraid did not exist. But since it is her story, let's begin with a statement made to the press by one of the professors when they found her on their doorstep.
Ladies and gentlemen, our long search is over. Our subject, a female infant, newborn, has been found. The necessary legal steps have been taken, and the child is in our hands. Today, under the banner of the Pickering Institute, we begin experiments.
So on and on and on. What he was trying to say was that little Alpha, for that is her name, was going to get to work. Well, 6 years go by, and Alpha plus the work is ready to be interviewed. And here to interview her is Mike Reed.
How do you do? Won't you sit down?
Thanks.
What paper are you from?
The Transcript.
Oh, reactionary, isn't it?
Oh, I suppose you read it every day.
Just the editorials. I go over them with Professor Smith.
And what do you think of our editorials?
Oh, we find them amusing. Have you prepared a list of questions you want me to answer?
Well,
We could begin by my giving you the schedule of my day. I have an English lesson first, then history, art, and
then reading and writing and arithmetic, huh?
Oh, of course not. I have algebra, economics, Chinese, semantics, and beginning tomorrow, philosophy, because I'm 6 years old today.
Oh. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Tell me, what do you do for fun?
Oh, I like reading best.
Oh, reading? Like the Horatio Alger stories, the Bob G. Twins fairy stories, stuff like that, huh?
I've been told about them.
What, fairy tales? What's wrong with them?
After all, there's no point in wasting time on things that aren't true.
Oh, wait a minute. Just what isn't true about fairy tales?
Are you serious? Dragons, flying carpets? Now, really?
Well, I'll just have to tell that leprechaun I had breakfast with this morning that he isn't real, I guess.
A leprechaun? What's that?
Oh, a little man, green hair, blue nose, shoemaker by profession, Irish.
I suppose you've seen witches, too?
Of course.
And what about dragons? Do you believe in them?
Why, certainly.
You've never seen one.
Well, if that's not a woman for you. Now, listen, Professor, do you know what a zebra is?
Of course.
Have you ever seen a zebra?
Well,
but you believe there are zebras, don't you?
Yes, but...
Well, all right, then. I believe there's a whole world of magic outside. All kinds of magic.
You do?
Sure. Now, mind, some people go their whole lives long and never see it. Naturally, they'll tell you it isn't true. But if you know what you're looking for, believe it in your heart, well, it's there. You can find it.
Can you?
Mm-hmm.
Time for your music lesson, Alpha.
Oh, not just yet. Oh, Mr. Regan, could you wait just a few more minutes?
No, I'm afraid I haven't any more time, Professor. But don't you worry. I'll take care of that other matter for you. I'll be sure to tell my leprechaun that you say he's not real.
Say, Gus, you're a bright reporter with an eye for scoop. What do you make of that coming in the door?
What do you mean? Oh, that? Looks like a kid to me. What do you want, little girl?
I want to see Mr. Regan. Mr. Michael Regan.
Yeah? Why?
Well, he's my father.
But Mike's not...
How do you know? Where is Mike?
But the fight's with Katie.
No kidding. Well, what do you know with Katie with the light red temper?
And this one wants to see her father. And do she shall. And why shouldn't she?
Dressing room four. Your baby is waiting for you there.
All right, Professor. I don't know how you escaped from that intellectual zoo you live in, but you did, and you've got me in trouble, so come on, let's get out of here.
Oh, hello, Mike.
Looking for Katie? She left a couple of minutes ago, and plenty burned, too. Hey, that your kid?
No. Anyway, she's just impersonating a kid.
Midget, huh?
All right, now, for heaven's sake, what do you want?
When you came to see me, you made certain statements. You said that there were dragons and flying carpets and witches and, well, magic.
What?
You said not everybody could, but you knew how to find it. That's what you said.
So?
Show me.
Well, I'll tell you how it is, kid.
Of course, if it isn't true, please don't feel bad. After all men lie. I know that.
What? Oh, look, honey, I didn't lie to you. There is magic. All kinds. It's what makes people laugh and be happy and have friends. I told you I could find it. I'll find it for you. But first, we have to go to a certain nightclub and find Katie Mallory, my girl.
Oh, why don't we just go look for magic? Why do we have to see her?
Because she's very, very angry with me. And since you're the other woman in the case, you have to help me fix it.
All right. How do I do it?
Professor, it's very simple. You do it by being exactly 6 years old.
Regan, I've been waiting for you.
Oh, you're Packy's brother, aren't you?
Yeah. He'd like to talk to you, Regan. He's not in jail either. What he's got for you isn't for your paper. Duck that kid and come on.
Well, if it's not for the paper, it's not for me. You can tell Packy I think he's clear on that rap, too, but there's nothing I can do. I'm not one of his boys.
Okay, Regan. But Packy don't ask outsiders to do him favors very often. I don't think you're being smart.
Come on, eat your spaghetti, Professor. I think Katie's beautiful.
You like her better than you like me?
What?
I said, do you like her better than you like me? Don't laugh at me.
Oh, Professor, I swear you're getting younger every minute.
Do you like me?
Why?
I don't know.
Oh. Hey.
I like you.
Hold on. Professor, what's the matter? What did I do?
Mike, what did you do to her?
Oh, hello, Katie. I beat her. What do you think I did to her?
He likes you better than he likes me.
What's the matter with her?
Well, judging from my past experiences, I'd say she's in love.
So,
Look, I've got to call the Institute.
Oh, take it easy, Professor.
Baby, he doesn't like me better. Just differently, honest. Now, supposing you got to like me, you'd still like Mike, wouldn't you? People can like lots of people. People with big hearts, that is.
Has Mike got a big heart?
Yes, darling. It's bigger than his head.
Professor Vincent, there's a Mr. Regan on the phone. He found Alpha.
Oh, wonderful.
Just a minute, Vincent. I'm afraid this case looks like measles. And if it is you, you can't bring Alpha back here. This place is quarantined.
Hello. What's that? Oh, man, you're out of your mind. I don't care who vouches for me. I don't care. You're not going to stick me with that kid. What do you mean, instructions? She's human, isn't she? She eats and sleeps, and I keep her face clean. What else is there? Now, look, Katie, I can't keep the kids. You know how I live. So I was just thinking, your place is right close by and...
Not a chance, Mike. Not a chance.
Uh-huh. Why not?
Because you're her fairy godmother, my friend. But now she's come to you and said, show me. So you're the fellow who's got to show her, Mike. No one else.
Oh, I'll spend lots of time with her. It's just that I...
Oh, no. Did you see the way she looks at you? Well, you've got to pay for that look. You're a big guy to that kid. And that means you're the guy who's going to sit up with her tonight if she gets sick on that spaghetti.
Come on, Professor. Get your hat.
And the guy will have to get up at 8 o'clock tomorrow to get her breakfast. Oh, no, Michael. This time one of your pigeons has come home to roost.
Mike, I like your apartment. I'm glad I'm going to stay with you.
You are, huh?
Yes.
Well, I don't mind you staying with me, Professor. Not if you'll play ball. What I mean is, you'll kind of not get in my hair.
You mean if I will cooperate?
Yeah, you're right.
Very well, I will cooperate. And also, if you wish, I will play ball with you.
Professor, you really are a character. Now, look, my instructions are simple. You keep reasonably quiet, eat what you should, and wash at frequent intervals. Is that all clear?
Yes.
Okay, then we understand each other. And you start right now. Hey, you don't look so hot, Professor. Maybe it's that green light on your face.
I don't think so. I think it's the spaghetti.
Oh, no. Oh, good heavens. Well, come on. No. Go ahead. I got to answer the phone. No, wait for me. Oh, ye gods. Feel okay now, Professor?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. You better start getting some sleep. I'll be back as soon as I can. My paper wants me to ring in. But I'll make it fast and be back in no time. You, just hit the hay, kid. And pleasant dreams. You won't be scared.
Of course not. That would be unintelligent.
Okay. Good night, kid.
Good night, Mike.
Oh, say. I almost forgot something pretty important. A kiss for Cinderella.
Good night, Mike. Mike? Is that you, Mike?
Huh? Hey, who are you?
Alpha, who are you?
None of your business. When will Regan be back?
Mr. Regan will be back soon. And he wouldn't like you waving that gun around.
Oh, no.
What do you want?
What's it to you?
Obviously, you've been very badly brought up.
No kidding.
And since you're so intent on staying, please put down that gun and we shall converse.
Sure, leave us do that little thing. And there is said to be a wonderful bird here called
Called a nightingale. Said the emperor. They say it is the best thing in all my great... empire.
Empire.
I have never heard him named, replied the C-A-V-L-I-E-R.
Cavalier.
And why wasn't it Empire?
Oh, Packy, it isn't the same at all. You see, Mike!
Hollis. Thought I'd pay you a little visit since you wouldn't come and see me.
Oh, now look here, Packy.
Shut up. I'll make it short and sweet. Look, you gotta find a guy. Lefty Moran. He's the only one who can clear me on this rap. He saw the whole thing. I can't go looking for him. I'd be picked up in 2 minutes. But a reporter like you knows every angle, see? So you're gonna do it for me. You get it?
Well, you hide out here.
Right.
I think you should help him.
You keep out of this. Why?
Because I like Packy.
Oh, you're getting to like an awful lot of people.
Yes, it's getting easier and easier.
Look, but Packy, if I find him, I get the whole story?
Sure, but you're wasting a lot of time, bud.
Okay. But you go right to sleep now, Professor.
Okay.
And as for you, Packy, you go to sleep, too.
But I don't feel like it.
I'll read to him some more.
Oh, murder.
Found him all right, Packy. But I had a time getting him up here.
Is he hurt, Mike? Is he?
No, he'll be all right. Oh, brother, did I have a time with him.
You're a smart guy, Regan. All right, Moran, wake up. Take a good look, sweetheart. We can get that kid out of here. This punk didn't witness that shooting, did you?
Chump!
He did it himself. Nobody's framing me.
Oh, listen, you chump. Make him sign a confession. That'll clear you.
And then he just walks off, no thanks.
No, he doesn't walk off. We call the cops. You pay him off this way, you just put yourself back in jail.
Oh, Packy, don't do anything that'll make you go to prison. That would be unintelligent. And besides, I wouldn't be able to see you anymore. And you wouldn't be able to do anything. And you promised you'd show me how to play dice and...
Hey. You know something, Professor? I think you're right. Come on, start talking, rat. Furthermore, you cops, you'd have never found that chump if it hadn't been for Regan. You guys can really take lessons from him. And that kid. Oh, boy, what a kid.
I'll be seeing you, Professor. Remember, always use your own charge.
Oh, there she is. There's our little Alpha.
We got a gangster, Professor Vincent, and now Packy won't have to go to jail, and the cops came.
You unprincipled man. Is this the care with which you watched over her? Gangsters, criminals. Why, to me, you're no better than one yourself.
Don't you dare talk that way to Mike.
I hope it gives you some satisfaction to know that you've probably ruined years of work. That you... Well, Mr. Regan, the Pickering Institute has some influence in this city. You haven't heard the last of this.
Oh, yes, I have. I've heard the last of it. Get out of here, Vincent. All of you.
Let us go home, my dear.
But I can't leave, Mike. Mike, I can't go.
Now, look, Professor. You came to me so I'd show you magic. Well, there's loads of magic, isn't there? There's all kinds. I showed it to you, didn't I? Well, now you've got to go back. The professors are good people, and you've always liked them.
But, Mike, it's different when you love people. It's not the same as liking them. I love you, Mike. And when you love people, you have to be with them. Don't you see, Mike?
Regan, if I spoke harshly to you, I'm sorry. Perhaps I...
Oh, will you... Will you please get out of here? All
Mike!
Of you. Well, you're gone. That's good, huh? Kitty, let's get married now, tonight. Let's go someplace quiet.
Oh, I've been waiting a long time for you to say that to me, Mike. But it's no. You see, I think I would be too much of a responsibility for you. Whatever it is, you're not willing to give. I saw that just now. So, well, so long, Mike.
Okay, so long. But I'm going.
I'm getting out of here right now.
Shall we try the test, Alpha? It's really simple once you've caught on. Can you do it, my dear?
I don't want to.
Don't make her go through with it.
Alpha, would you like to have Professor Zimmerman read to you for a while?
No.
Well, would you like to go out for a nice walk?
No.
Darling, would you like to see Michael?
He doesn't want to see me.
But what exactly was the nature of the magic that Mr. Regan showed you, Alpha?
Oh, there were lots of things. There was a flying carpet. It looked like an airplane, but it was really a flying carpet. And then there was a man whose shirt lighted up, and...
Alpha, you know, there are explanations of these things, and they're just as entertaining when you understand them.
Oh, but that wasn't the real magic. That was just a little kind.
And what was the real magic?
Loving people.
Shouldn't leave the door open, Regan. Huh. All sorts of characters could drop in. What, are you going someplace?
Yeah, away.
Oh, you taking a kid with you? Look, I brought her some junk. Where is she?
You'll find her at the Pickering Institute.
Regan, you're not putting your kid in an orphanage.
No, it's not an orphanage. And she's not my kid.
Now, look, Regan, I ain't going to stand
for... Look, Packy, you're a nice guy. Keep out of trouble. Behave yourself. Believe anything you want, but get out of my way. I'm leaving. So long.
That guy is nuts or something. What goes around here? If somebody touches the hair on that kid's head, I'll knock him off, so help me, I'll...
Packy.
Kitty.
Oh, Packy, have you seen Mike?
Yeah, sure. He just got out of here.
We've got to find him. Oh, the kid's awful sick, Packy.
What?
She misses Mike. She hasn't eaten or slept.
But no good heel. On and out on it. Let me get on that phone. I'll get the mob out.
Well, I guess there's nothing more we can do. He's just vanished.
Packy, couldn't the boys find him either?
No, I don't get it. First time they ever let me down, that Mike just vanished.
I can't hold out any hope now for the child. She just lies there with her head turned to the wall. Oh, I'd give everything I possess to find Regan. Everything.
Don't take no bows, Max. So would we.
If he knew, if he read the papers, he'd come. I know he'd come.
Where's my kid?
Regan!
Oh. Mike, I knew you'd come.
Regan, I'm so glad to see you. I could shoot you in the stomach.
Did you hear them paging you, or did you read about it in the paper?
I read what in the paper? Who paged me? What's the matter with you people? Look, Vincent, I want to talk to you about that kid.
Oh, Mike, do you mean you came all on your own?
Of course I came on my own. What do you mean? Hey, what's happened? Has anything happened to Alpha?
You see, she's been rather ill. Nothing serious.
What is it? What's the matter with her? Well, don't you fools know how to take care of a child? Can't I leave my kid here for a couple of days without you?
Mike. Oh, Mike.
Professor.
Mike.
Hey, what's all this nonsense about not eating?
Mike.
You got the other professor sore at me. I'm in hot water with Katie. Probably lose my job.
Oh, Mike, you came. I knew you would. It's magic.
Oh, Professor. Professor. Easy.
Mike.
Well, there are just a few details to clear up. Naturally, we cannot turn Alpha over to a bachelor.
No. Well, Katie?
Of course, darling.
Well, we shall continue to supervise the child's education, and it would be advisable for her parents to keep abreast of her course of study. So, I shall send you a guide to an 8-month preliminary course.
Never mind, Mike. I'll take care of you and Katie. Honest, I will. It won't be so hard after the first 4 years. If you study real hard, in fact, it'll be fun. Lots of fun.
Tonight's performance of Lost Angel concludes the series of dramatic performances presented by E.R. Squibb and Sons in association with the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
The Academy Award Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from December 18, 1946 on CBS, a program that turned out to be their swan song after 39 episodes on the Columbia Broadcasting System, falling under its own weight as being known as one of the most expensive programs in radio, paying full price to have the original stars reprise their roles in the major motion pictures they were adapting. It's an hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for the Damon Runyon Theater, with a very Runyon-esque take on love, with the story Romance in the Roaring Forties, this first released for broadcast on October 17, 1948.
Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater presents another story by the master of storytellers, Damon Runyon. And this one, the hilarious Romance in the Roaring Forties. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. Maybe you know a citizen who is called Dave the Dude? And maybe you know another citizen who is entered under the name of Waldo Winchester, who writes a gossip column. That is his real name. Although some of the characters claim this handle is one of those nom de plumes, which is fancy French for an alias. Well, how this Winchester tangles with Dave the Dude, and how Miss Billy Perry, Dave the Dude's girl, figures in, is quite a story. As I am saying, Waldo Winchester is an influential citizen along the staff. But he is no more that way than Dave the Dude. Although Dave is better known by the gendarmes of various settlements than he is by the general public. Well, one night I am sitting in the 1600 Club, which belongs to one Miss Missouri Martin, whom we call Mizzou for short. Mizzou is at the table with me, and the conversation is as follows.
You have not been around lately, Broadway, been sick?
Well, not exactly, Mizzou. It is just that I have not the time.
I've made a few additions to the place.
So I see. Especially in the doll department in the show. In particular, I noticed one...
Sure. The little brunette third from the end. Do not notice her anymore.
What?
You know Dave the Dude.
Although I am not a real personal friend, I know Dave the Dude.
Would you say he is a man to double-cross?
I would say that Dave the Dude is a man not to cross, even in the singular.
Then forget the little brunette third from the end.
Oh, why?
Because Dave the Dude was in the other night. He also saw her.
Mizzou, I do not think I ever see the little brunette third from the end.
And you better tell all the boys.
I will give the information around.
Her name is Billy Perry. Would you care to meet her?
Oh, no. She is not my type.
You mean Dave the Dude is not your type?
You are correct. And speaking of Dave the Dude, your front entrance is filled with him.
Every night he comes here. Every night. There's still one more show to go, but Miss Billy Perry will not be in it.
Why not?
Because Dave says she is a delicate creature and can do only one show per night.
Hmm. This sounds like Dave is serious.
Billy is the first doll I think he's serious about.
Here he comes. Goodbye.
No, stay.
Hello, Miss Sue. Broadway. How goes it?
Never better.
Hello, Dave.
Is Miss Perry done for the evening, Miss Sue?
Are you asking me or telling me?
Will you ask her to join me?
Sure. Right away, Dave.
Well, if you will excuse me, Dave.
You are my guest. I want you to meet a very wonderful creature.
Oh?
Broadway, have you ever been in love?
Only once.
How'd it feel?
I do not remember. I am only 6 years old at the time.
You're missing something wonderful, Broadway. I thought all dolls are alike until I meet this Miss Perry.
She is special?
Extra. You will call her Miss Perry.
See, and that is her name. I will be glad to.
The other night I had to cool off Little Mitzi because he called her a dame.
Well, Little Mitzi does not know any better.
I repaired that flaw in his character. Hey, Broadway, look. There she comes.
While Dave's eyes are glazing over like two molasses apples, I look where he points. I admit that this Miss Billy Perry is something for the books. She is prettier than someone. And $1 million worth of figure is putting it at a low estimate. She comes up to the table.
Hello, Davy.
Hello, Billy. Broadway, meet Miss Billy Perry.
I am charmed beyond measure, I'm certain.
How are you?
Just fine, Mr. Broadway.
Are you tired tonight, Billy?
No, not very. But I am hungry.
Broadway, go to the kitchen. Tell the chef I want to order.
Oh, sure. Anything special?
Broadway... You will tell the chef to bring everything. so Miss Perry can make a choice.
Well, I am able to tell by Dave's actions that he is more than somewhat on the ropes for Miss Billy Perry. It is not long before everybody knows this, and this fact keeps other citizens away from him. Well, a couple of weeks go by as they do, and it is one night in the 1600 Club that Harry the Horse and I are sitting at a table when who nudges up but Waldo Winchester.
Oh, hello, Broadway. Harry.
Hi, Waldo.
Hello, Waldo. Mind if I sit down?
If it will make you more comfortable, please do.
Same old Harry. What's new, Broadway?
I take it you are looking for items for that column you write?
Always on the lookout for something good. There is nothing good. Nice crowd in here tonight.
Nothing special.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Broadway. Do you see what I see?
That all depends on what you see.
Who's that girl?
Which girl?
The little brunette, third from the end.
I am unable to see that far due to a slight nearsightedness.
I do not know her.
Don't give me that, Broadway. You know everybody.
Oh, that is a figure of speech.
Hey, what's the matter with you? I asked you a question, that's all.
It is not a good question.
I don't get this.
Look, Waldo, we do not know the girl.
No?
To repeat, no.
How is the column going, Waldo?
Fine, just fine. Hey, she's a very pretty girl.
I read your column this morning, Waldo. It is very good.
Thanks. Maybe I should have come in here before this. Looks like I missed something.
Waldo, that is not all you are going to miss.
Huh? Hey, what are you talking about? Hey, Broadway. She smiled at you.
You are making the mistake, Waldo. She does not even know me.
And why is she coming over here?
I do not know, but I am going over there to the door that leads out.
I'm going with you, Harry.
Broadway, wait a minute.
Good night.
Harry, wait.
I have an engagement on the other side of town, a very important one.
What's the matter with him? Broadway, you sit down or I'll tell Dave you were rude to me.
I am sitting down.
Well, Broadway, you going to introduce me?
I wish I didn't know you.
Oh, you're Waldo Winchester. Gee, I read your column in the paper every morning. I see your picture on the top.
Thank you.
Miss Perry.
Oh, Miss Perry, huh? Miss Perry, may we have the honor of your company?
Now, isn't that gentlemanly-like? Gee, did you hear that, Broadway?
I wish that I am deaf.
May I order something for you, Miss Perry?
Well, I'm not hungry, but I could eat.
Good. Broadway, how about being a good egg and running out to the chef? Tell him it's for me.
Uh-huh. What do you want?
Well, seeing that this is a very special occasion, you'd better have him bring, everything. Miss Perry can make her choice.
And that is that. It so happens that Dave the Dude is out of town when this happens, and he does not get back for 2 weeks. Waldo is seen every night in the 1600 Club, and Miss Billy Perry is seen with him. Somebody tells him that this is unhealthy, but he laughs it off. He figures because he is with a newspaper, Dave the Dude will do nothing. But one night, I am standing at the corner of 50th and Broadway when I see Dave the Dude. He is coming toward me. I try to duck, but I am stopped before I get 10 feet.
What's the matter, Broadway? Could it be that you don't want to see me?
I did not see you come up, Dave.
You know my boys.
Yeah, we know, Broadway.
I am acquainted with them, yes.
Broadway, let's you and me have a little talk, huh?
We don't have much in common.
I think we do. Broadway, it has come to my attention that one night you introduced a citizen named Waldo Winchester to Miss Perry.
I do not.
That is the way I heard it.
It is a libel.
It is liable to be bad for you if I find out this is true.
Where do you hear this?
Around. I just got in this morning. I went to see Miss Perry. It seems she is out with Waldo Winchester. I asked some characters how this could be. And I hear that one night you introduced Miss Perry to the said citizen.
Look, Dave, it is none of my doing.
I am inclined very much to believe you because I know how very careful you are of your health. But I want you to tell me something.
Sure, Dave. What is the information you are seeking?
Is it a bigger rap to bump off a newspaper guy than anybody else?
Dave, this is very foolish of you. Miss Perry is only one doll.
One in a million. So I want you to do me a favor.
I will do anything I can.
I want you to call off this Waldo Winchester.
Me? How?
That is up to you. It is now 12 o'clock at noon. At 10 o'clock tonight, I would like very much to know that Miss Perry and Mr. Winchester are strangers. Totally. It is up to you.
is up to me, he says. He does not give me instructions, so I am on my own. And is lucky I am not on my back, because Dave the Dude is a very tough citizen. Well, that night I go to the Club 1600. The word is out that Dave is back and that I am on the spot. As Angie the Ox says...
It is up to you, Broadway. If you do not call off Waldo Winchester, then Dave will cool him off. And that will be bad.
Yeah, like Angie says, Broadway, it will be bad.
What am I going to do, Harry?
I do not know. But I know what the newspapers will do if one of their ilk meets with an unfortunate incident. They will start a campaign about some characters. And we will have to go on vacations.
I do not want to go on another vacation. I'm just back from one.
Broadway, there is Waldo and Miss Perry. Go over and talk to them.
What will I talk about?
Not the weather. You have a more important subject.
Go ahead, Broadway.
I have a feeling that I do not like the way I feel.
Go ahead, Broadway.
I am on my way.
Well, if it is not Mr. Broadway.
Hello, Broadway.
Hello.
Well, sit down. Have something to eat.
I will sit down, but my appetite is not with me.
What's the matter? You look pale.
That is natural under the circumstances.
Hey, what's eating you, Broadway? You look as though you'd seen a ghost.
Do not mention that word or anything in connection with it.
Something troubling you?
Well, it is like this.
Well, it is like what?
It is too late to mention it. Here comes Dave.
Oh, him.
He has his boys with him.
So what?
I wish you knew how silly that question is.
Well, well, well. Is everybody having a party?
This is the end of it.
I'm glad to see you back, Dave.
Sure. Mr. Winchester, how are you?
Never better, thanks. And you?
I am fine. Broadway?
You want me to leave?
No. I just want to tell you it's almost 10 o'clock.
It could be that your watch is fast.
It is correct.
What is going to happen at 10 o'clock?
Miss Perry, anything could happen at 10 o'clock.
Say, what is this all about?
You don't know, Mr. Winchester?
Of course I don't.
I take it then, Broadway, that you have not spoken.
Look, Dave, let me explain.
I will take matters into my own hands.
Wait!
Boys, close in.
Hey. Hey, what is this? What's the pitch, Dave?
I am going to write a column for you, Waldo. And this one will be in the obituaries. And you will have company. Broadway?
Yeah?
It is now 10 o'clock.
And now back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Romance in the Roaring Forties.
There we are. Dave and his boys, Miss Billy Perry, Waldo Winchester, and me. It is not long before Waldo gets the idea that things are more than somewhat wrong. He looks at Dave the Dude, and the scene is as follows.
Dave, what is this?
Mr. Winchester, I am going to erase
you. Oh, listen, Dave.
Shut up.
I don't get this.
You will. But before I put a permanent chill on you, I will give you this for an appetizer. All right, get up, Mr. Winchester. I will never shoot a man when he is lying down.
You're crazy.
Get up.
Dave, don't. You don't realize what you are doing to the man I love.
I know what I am doing. The man you love?
Yes, the man I love. He is a fine person, a man of tastes, and well, he is a fine man.
Do I hear you say that you love him?
I love him.
And him?
He has never told me, but I have every reason to believe that he does.
I want him to tell me. Boys, lift him up. You hear what Miss Perry says?
No, I have a buzzing in my ears.
She says she loves you. Is that so?
She said that?
Billy, tell him.
I do love you, Waldo.
But
and you love her?
Well, Miss Perry is a very fine girl.
A lady.
A lady. But...
But what?
I can't talk with a gun in my face.
I will take it away. Now, do you or do you not love Miss Perry?
Well,
You do love me, don't you, Waldo?
Answer.
Yes.
Waldo. Waldo, darling.
Yeah. guess this is the end of my romance. Miss Perry, I cannot do what I came here to do tonight. I came here to terminate Mr. Winchester. Mr. Winchester, do not break her heart, or I will break a few things myself. Goodbye. Come on, boys.
Waldo, you loved me. You told me.
Uh-huh. I told you.
What's the matter, Mr. Winchester? You look as though you see a ghost. Well, that is that. Dave the Dude disappears, and nobody knows where he is. Now, this may look like the end with everybody happy, but it is not. We are all wondering where is Dave the Dude and why he is holding up his sleeve, because we know it is not his custom to back away so easily. One day I find out. I am sitting in Mindy's when in comes Angie the Ox. He is very excited as he says to me,
I'm glad I find you, Broadway.
What's the matter?
Broadway, this is a bad day for all the boys.
Huh? What?
Dave has put the snatch on Waldo Winchester.
This is not true.
It is true. I get the word from Little Mitzi, who gets it from one of Dave's own boys.
He's crazy. He should know that kidnapping anybody is bad, much less a citizen connected with a newspaper.
Not only that, but he sends for all of us.
Where is he?
At the Woodstock Inn.
What is Dave doing out in the country? The fresh air will kill him.
I do not know, but he sends for all of us to come to the Woodstock Inn, quick and very fast.
But why?
Well, there's only one thing we figure, that he invites us to watch him put the chill on Waldo Winchester.
I am not going.
Oh, we will all go to Dave's party. If we do not, we will not go any place at any time later.
I think you are right.
Oh, we are caught.
There is no train fast enough to get us away.
Come on, Broadway. Little Mitzi passed the word we should be there by 1 o'clock.
It is only 9 now.
Broadway, in a case like this, we allow ourselves plenty of time.
Well, it is like Angie said. It looks like we are all witnesses to the Winchester execution. It seems that Dave the Dude blames all of us for not keeping a better eye on Miss Billy Perry. Anyhow, we get to the Woodstock Inn, and the place is more than somewhat crowded by characters. But when I get in the door, I am almost knocked over by what I see. I am standing there when Dave the Dude comes up to me, and the scene is as follows.
Well, how do you like it, Broadway?
I do not understand this thing.
Broadway, you are at a wedding.
Huh?
It is like this. I figured that I should do something for Miss Perry. What could I do better than give her a big wedding to Mr. Winchester?
But, I mean, does Mr. Winchester know this?
It was more than somewhat of a surprise. We did not tell him until he got up here.
I see. But he is here.
Yeah, my boys brought him. There he is, over there.
He does not look very happy.
He is still surprised at developments.
I see.
Well, as soon as the minister gets here, we'll have the wedding. Say, Broadway.
What, Dave?
I do not like the way Mr. Winchester is taking this. Go over and cheer him up.
From his looks, I think that will be impossible.
Try it. Go on. I'm going to see about this.
Hello, Dave.
Go with Broadway, Harry.
Oh, sure. Where are you going, Broadway?
To see Mr. Winchester. Come on. Hello, Mr. Winchester.
Hello.
Hey, for a man about to be married, you do not seem happy.
I am not happy.
But why not? Miss Perry is a very lovely doll.
But not for me.
Do not let Dave hear you say that.
I've got to get out of here.
How?
Are they still watching me?
Yes.
Oh, this is terrible.
You do not love Miss Perry?
No.
Never mind. Love will grow on you.
But what about my wife?
Huh?
You did not say something about a wife, did you?
Yes.
Does that mean you are married?
Yes, and my wife is very strict with me. She won't approve of this.
Neither will Dave. Broadway, if this shindig today goes on the rocks, that will be all. He will bump this Mr. Winchester.
Oh, please, go somewhere else and talk about that. I don't like it.
You don't.
Mr. Winchester, you have put us all on the spot.
You're on a spot.
How does it happen you do not mention your wife before this?
Why,
you know how it is.
No.
Well, where is she?
She just came into town today. Not many people know I'm married to her.
She is in town?
At the Park Plaza Hotel.
She does not live there?
No, she travels with a circus.
With a circus?
Yeah, she's an acrobat. Her name is Lola. She's the one who holds up the five others in the big finale.
Is she big?
Very. She's even bigger than Angie the Ox.
Mr. Winchester, you are on the spot.
But you will marry Miss Perry, because otherwise we will be in a spot.
I can't marry Miss Perry.
Then you will tell her, because here she comes.
Waldo, darling, look, Dave gave me an engagement ring from you and a wedding ring, and he is going to be the best man.
There is no question about that.
Isn't it all too thrilling? It's just like a movie.
You can leave a movie.
Oh, you're funny, Broadway.
Very funny.
But, Waldo, you look so sad. You should be happy. Happy and laughing.
Well, the minister will be here in a half hour. Meanwhile, everybody have a good time.
Oh, Dave, you're such a wonderful, kind man.
It's all for you, Miss Perry. It's for your happiness. And his.
You know, something tells me this is gonna be a peculiar wedding.
Well, Dave arranges things. He is very happy seeing that Miss Perry is made happy. Waldo tries to get away 3 or 4 times, but they run him down and bring him back before he is 10 feet away. The minister gets there, and we help Waldo to the altar, where Dave is giving Miss Perry away. But then something happens. The minister is just about ready to begin when...
Hey, where do you think you're going?
You can't go in there.
Who says I can't? Where's my husband? Where's Waldo?
Hey, what's the idea? Who let this doll in here?
She is a very big doll.
Lola! Lola!
Waldo, baby, what are they doing to you?
Lola, please get me out of here.
Just a minute. Boys, watch the doors and windows. Look, who are you?
Lola Winchester, you cheap tin-horn sport.
What?
This is my husband you're trying to marry off.
Husband? Waldo!
This is my wife, Lola.
Oh, wife? Why, you...
Get away from him!
I'll cook him. I'll take him apart. I'll...
Come on! Knock you down again.
Why, you...
Take my husband away, will you? Kidnap my darling, will you?
Stop knocking me down.
I'll knock anybody down who tries to stop me. Come on, Waldo. I'll take you home.
Sure, baby, sure.
If anybody wants more trouble, just come to Lola. And I'll give it to you.
And she picks Waldo up, throws him over her shoulder, and walks out. Dave the Dude is on the floor, and everybody else is too surprised to move. It is Miss Perry who comes to life first.
I ain't gonna be married. I ain't gonna be married.
Not to Mr. Winchester.
All right, boys, come with me. We got a job to do.
Oh, Dave, wait a minute.
And you, Broadway, you've got something coming. And the rest of you.
You can't rub him out, Dave.
I'm going to.
But the newspapers.
I don't care about them.
Miss Perry.
What?
You are well rid of such a man as Waldo Winchester, who keeps such a large wife undercover. He is a rat and a snake in the grass.
He is... Well, I guess he is.
He is not worthy of you. You need a man who is. Perhaps you will find such a man for yourself.
What do you mean?
I mean, you do not have far to look.
What are you talking about, Broadway?
Dave... You love Miss Billy Perry.
I do.
Miss Perry, Waldo Winchester is not the man for you because he is more than somewhat married. But...
Me?
You.
Oh, gee.
Well, it is a shame to let all these pretty decorations go to waste and the ring. And I'd have to give it back if I wasn't married.
Oh, you could keep it.
I think you are the man for me, Dave.
Me? You mean that?
Sure she does, Dave. Where's the minister?
He is waiting.
Well, then, what are we waiting for? Come on!
Broadway, I take off my hat to you.
Harry, I take off my hat. But only because for a minute, it was very hot in here. And so Miss Perry and Dave the Dude are married. But it is not until a day or so later that the payoff comes. Well, it is a day or so later that I am sitting in Mindy's having some goulash when Harry the horse comes in and sits down.
Hello, Broadway.
Hello, Harry.
It was a nice wedding.
I am glad it was a wedding.
I am very glad it was a wedding. However, there is one thing that is causing me some trouble.
What is that, Harry?
It is this. Only the boys know that Dave puts the snatch on Waldo Winchester and takes him to the Woodstock Inn. Is that correct?
That is correct.
But this Lola doll comes right out there. Now, how does she know we are there? Well, do you know Broadway?
Maybe she is a bloodhound.
You know,
This morning I am thinking. I remembered that you were missing that day for about 10 minutes. Could it be you put in a phone call to the Park Plaza Hotel?
I do not say one way or the other.
But it fixes everything.
You mean because Lola comes there and gets Waldo, everything is all right.
That is right.
And now, Harry, I will tell you something. Suppose this marriage between Dave and Miss Perry does not turn out all right. Who gets the blame?
The citizen who put in the phone call to the Lola doll.
Exactly. So I hope you are very forgetful. Because you are the only one who knows I am missing for 10 minutes.
Broadway, I do not ever remember you being missing for even 1 minute.
Harry, you are a gentleman.
Broadway, you are a genius.
And so ends the story, Romance in the Roaring Forties. Another famous Damon Runyon story. Listen in again next week for the Damon Runyon Theater.
The Damon Runyon Theater, on Tuned 2 yesterday from October 17th, 1948, a syndicated broadcast. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of romance on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.